Please turn with me now in the back of the Psalter hymnal to Lord's Day 44 on page 56. Lord's Day 44, where we are instructed concerning the meaning of the 10th commandment in particular. Question 113, what is God's will for us in the 10th commandment? That not even the slightest thought or desire, contrary to any one of God's commandments, should ever arise in my heart. Rather, with all my heart, I should always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. But can those converted to God obey these commandments perfectly? No, in this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of this obedience. Nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some, of God's commandments. No one in this life can obey the Ten Commandments perfectly. Why then does God want them preached so pointedly? First, so that the longer we live, the more we may come to know our sinfulness and the more eagerly look to Christ for forgiveness of sins and righteousness. Second, so that while praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, we may never stop striving to be renewed more and more after God's image, until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. And in God's Word this evening, I invite you to turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, on page 710 in the Pew Bible, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God! Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. I'm going to ask you to join with me now on verses 23 and 24 and make it a prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May God make his holy and infallible word precious to us this evening. We come this evening to the 10th and last word of the covenant, and we ask the question, what is it that the Lord asks of us according to the 10th commandment? The 10th commandment we find in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, and it reads this way, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." In this commandment, brothers and sisters, the Lord is teaching us that it is not sufficient for us to be on guard against sinful deeds. That is important, but the 10th commandment tells us that the Lord forbids even the desire for the deed. This is essentially what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, when he says, "I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." In his heart. The 10th commandment draws attention to our hearts. And according to Scripture, our deeds come from our hearts. The heart is the headquarters, and there the commands are given to actuate our bodies. Our sinful deeds arise out of our sinful heart. And this is what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, "For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly." What a list! Nothing other than evil deeds come from our hearts unless the Lord is pleased to change and to transform those hearts. It is this heart that the Scripture has in view when it speaks about the sinful nature, and also when it speaks about the old man. James uses the word lust to talk about the same thing in chapter 1. He describes that process by which lust, the lust of the heart, issues in the sinful deed. And he says it's like the process of birth. Desire conceives and gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, because sin comes from within, we can understand the cry of David in Psalm 139. David says, "Search me, O God, search me, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." May I draw your attention this evening to two basic thoughts in these verses 23 and 24. Search me and lead me. Search me and lead me. And these two thoughts correspond precisely, on the one hand, to what this commandment, the 10th commandment, forbids, and on the other hand, to what this 10th commandment requires of us. First of all, the prayer of David is, "Search me, O God." When the 10th commandment teaches us, "You shall love it," it does not forbid every desire. If you are hungry, you are not forbidden to desire food. And if you are sick, this commandment does not forbid you to yearn for healing and for deliverance. You are not forbidden to pray for healing. There have been times in the history of the Christian church when it was thought spiritual to deny every desire for creaturely comfort. And people were instructed by their religious leaders to mortify the desire for food, for clothing, for possession. And people were even taught that it was spiritual to deny the desire for marriage and for physical intimacy. But that attitude, brothers and sisters, is really an expression of ingratitude and disobedience. For the Lord has given us all things freely to enjoy, and He has taught us to receive all things with thanksgiving. The Lord does not by any means forbid the desires that send a man or a woman into the workplace to earn money. And the Lord does not forbid the desires that motivate us in the marketplace. Yes, we do desire to meet our own needs, and to meet the needs of our families for food and for clothing and for shelter. And we receive these gifts from the hand of our Father in heaven with gratitude. And we may freely enjoy the fruit of modern art and of technology. When the Lord teaches us not to covet, the sort of thing that is forbidden in this 10th commandment is amply illustrated in the Bible. It begins as early as Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, with the desire for what God has indeed forbidden. The desire to substitute human authority for divine authority. Certainly, the commandment forbids the desires that have characterized the unbelieving world throughout the ages. And certainly, the unbelieving world of Paul's day and of ours as well. Paul calls these desires in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, the sinful desires of their heart. And in this particular case, the desire for sexually immoral behavior. In Ephesians 2, verse 3, Paul confesses, all of us also lived among the disobedient at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful natures and following its desires and thoughts. Peter calls these evil human desires. Paul warns in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, that people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And our Savior himself warns about the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for things that come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now I have given you a number of passages of Scripture, and there are many others that could be cited. And these passages of Scripture, brothers and sisters, do not lead us in the direction of personal self-esteem. They do not lead us in the direction of a high view of man. But they do lead us to understand why the 10th commandment is in the Bible. Our God is a holy God, and he has an intense aversion to the evil desires of the godless, and he hates what issues from the unconverted heart. But now we are gathered here together this evening, not as unconverted people, but as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Not as unconverted, but as the converted, as the people of God. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have learned to fear the living God. And we have learned to share in God's hatred of the sinful part and everything that comes from it. But the remnants of that old sinful nature are still there. And that is why we have to apply the 10th commandment to ourselves, as well as to others. The Lord forbids us to cherish anything in our heart contrary to his will, impure and unholy thoughts, lust, and evil desires, as well as everything that flows forth from them. David cries out in Psalm 139, Lord, Lord, search me. Search me and know my heart. test me and see if there is any offensive way in me. Publicly, David has identified himself with the cause of the living God and of his kingdom. Yes, he is a believer. And he says in verses 21 and 22, "Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies." And that is no expression of personal or petty vindictiveness. What is happening is that David is taking his stand publicly for the truth. And there is nothing immoral or sub-Christian about what David is saying. And each one of us, brothers and sisters, each one of us by his lifestyle must testify that the enemies of the Lord are our enemies as well. And if that is not the case, we are in deep trouble. And each one of us must be able to say from his heart, as David did, that the enemies of the Lord are my enemies. David goes on to say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Again, no expression of self-esteem, no expression of personal pride. David is not saying, "Have a good look, Lord, and you will see what a wonderful person I am." On the contrary, David realizes that it is not enough for the outside of the cup to be clean. The inside must be clean as well. The 10th commandment teaches us and shows us that the will of the Lord for our lives reaches beyond our deeds, reaches into our very heart as well. God's will is, as we have confessed together this evening, that not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in my heart. I asked you earlier in this service to join in that prayer of David. Are you praying it sincerely? Do you want that to happen? Search me. Search me, God, and test me. And then David prays, not only search me, O God, but lead me in the way everlasting. The commandments of the Lord not only forbid something, they also require something of us. And in the words of our catechism, the Lord requires that with all my heart I should always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. God asks us not only for the righteous deed, but also for the righteous desire. In the words of Psalm 139, "Lord, see if there is any offensive way in me. And if there is, Lord, let me get rid of it. Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. And that way everlasting is the way of righteousness and holiness. When David's guilt with Bathsheba was uncovered, he confessed his sin, and he also acknowledged the sinful nature out of which that deed had come. And then he pleads with the Lord, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." David asked the Lord for forgiveness, but he asked for something more, a new heart, so that he would never, ever again fall into that kind of sin. Have you asked the Lord to forgive you for something you have done? Have you taken the additional step to ask for the kind of heart that would never, ever again yield to that temptation? David's prayer must become our prayer. Paul tells us what his prayer is for the Ephesian believers. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith." Christ in our heart through faith cannot coexist with evil desire. In the words of Psalm 139, "Search me and see if there is any offensive way in me. Lord, lead me in the way everlasting." Brothers and sisters, there are only two ways that we can walk in this life. Jesus speaks of these ways as the broad way and the narrow way. Psalm 1, verse 6 calls them the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. The way of the wicked will perish, but the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Search me, O God. We are not inviting God to take a look to discover something that he might previously have overlooked. The Lord knows already what he will find. Verse 1 of Psalm 139, "O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me." Search me, O Lord. That is not a search and discover mission. That is a search and destroy mission. Search me, O God, and destroy anything evil that you find within me. May the Lord help us to know ourselves better. May the Lord help us to rid our hearts and our minds of all that is displeasing. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead me in the way everlasting. Our great God and Father in heaven, we are thankful for this reminder, for this instruction of the 10th commandment. You shall not covet. We are thankful, Lord, that you have taught us not only to avoid the evil deed, but also the evil desire. For you desire your people to be inside and out, everything that you want them to be, conformable to the image of Christ. Create in us a new heart, that we may love you and serve you all our days. In Jesus' name, amen.